under the open window. Anna wriggled her toes in the sand and dropped her hands to her side to keep her dress from blowing in the brisk sea breeze. Her dark brown eyes, half filled with awe, sparkled nonetheless as she watched Pastor Thurman break away from the crowd. A low murmur rose from the 300 or so people on the beach as the pastor stepped over to a thin young girl about 12 years old and led her down to the water. Their black robes whipped in the breeze and billowed around them as they walked slowly into the sea. Her mind drifted back across the past few months. Anna thought of the Bible lessons Rebecca had received in the mail each week. She remembered the awe with which everyone in Coral Bay Village looked at Rebecca ever since the day Pastor Thurman called on her. And she especially remembered Sister Minerva's visit and how angry the old woman had been. It all seemed as though it had happened only yesterday. She had crouched in the corner of her home, hardly daring to breathe. Sister Minerva had sat in the chair that Anna's father placed in the center of the room. The dim light coming through the window made the woman's wrinkled face look older than ever, Anna thought. She felt almost amused at her long nose that dropped to a hook at the end. "I only came to stay a minute," the woman cackled. Anna couldn't remember a time when she hadn't heard that voice about the village streets, warning the people against sin, admonishing them to be faithful to the church. "I want to know whether you can tell me about the little girl who is staying with the heretics next door, the Martins," Sister Minerva began. Anna's father answered, "My daughter has been a friend of Rebecca's since she came to live with her aunt and uncle a few months ago." The old woman turned and fixed her attention on Anna. The girl trembled and crouched further in the corner. "I understand that Rebecca has tuberculosis," Sister Minerva commented. "Is she very sick? We used to play in the Martins' house, and sometimes even outside when she first came," Anna faltered. "But the past few weeks she's been too sick even to get out of bed. I heard Mrs. Martin say yesterday that she hardly even eats any more." "The doctor will see her tomorrow when he comes to the village." Sister Minerva paused before her next question. "And is it true that the Martins have been taking Rebecca to the Adventist services on Saturday?" "Oh, no, yes, Anna gasped. "The first few weeks she was here, they took her with them every Saturday. But recently, she's been too sick to go." "And did she enjoy it? I mean, was she being influenced by it?" The girl glanced down and wriggled her toes in the dirt of the floor. "Well," she half whispered, "she asked me to go with her once." "Those heretics! The child's mother should never have allowed her to come and live with them." "Oh, but Rebecca's father died in a storm at sea," Anna protested. "With 10 other children, Rebecca's mother couldn't take care of her." "It is better to die than to be turned into a heretic," Sister Minerva replied, and then stood and turned to Anna's father. "I shall appreciate a report from you on the results of the doctor's visit. Perhaps you can allow Anna to go to their home long enough to find out about that. Then I shall call on Rebecca myself." She turned and left as suddenly as she had come. All that night Anna slept fitfully, thinking and dreaming about the doctor's visit the next day. She dreamed of heretics burning in hell, of saints singing in heaven, and through it all, she wondered where Rebecca and the Martins belonged. They were so kind and helpful, always smiling. The girl had a hard time believing that people like that would burn forever. Anna was glad the next morning for an excuse to spend an hour at the Martins before the doctor arrived. Not having seen Rebecca for more than a week, she gasped when she stepped through the door into her room. Rebecca, coughing quietly, lay on her cot. The skin hung from the bones on her arms and legs, and the shape of her teeth showed through her cheeks. Her eyes seemed sunken back into her head. A breeze from the sea drifted through the open window across the room. Rebecca barely managed a weak smile when Anna stepped to her bedside and stroked her hair. An hour later, Mrs. Martin led the doctor into the room. "How is my little patient this morning?" he asked as he set his black bag down by Rebecca's bed. The girl nodded and coughed again. The doctor took Rebecca's temperature and touched his fingers to her wrist to count her heartbeat. He drew a stethoscope from his bag and listened to Rebecca's chest. Rebecca's ribs reminded Anna of the carcasses of animals she had seen by the sea. When he finished his examination, the physician motioned for Rebecca's aunt and uncle to follow him into another room. Anna heard them talking in low tones. When they returned a few minutes later, she saw tears in Mrs. Martin's eyes. The doctor stepped to the patient's side. "Rebecca," he said gently, stroking her face. She nodded. "You know that you have tuberculosis, don't you?" The girl nodded again. The doctor paused. "You are a very sick little girl, my dear. Your aunt and uncle asked me to tell you how sick you really are." Rebecca looked into his eyes. "I don't think you have long to live." Anna noticed that he spoke each word deliberately. "I'm afraid the disease has gone too far to do anything about it." He patted her on the shoulder, and then he left the room. Anna watched the lids lower over Rebecca's eyes. A tear trickled down the side of her face, and she sighed and murmured. "Jesus is the only one who can make me well now," she whispered. Mrs. Martin knelt beside her niece. "My dear," she said in a choked voice, "Pastor Thurman will be in Coral Bay Village tomorrow for Sabbath school and church. I'm going to ask him to come and pray for you before he leaves." Her heart pounding, Anna wondered if Rebecca would let the Martins bring a heretic to pray for her. Rebecca glanced up. "Ask the juniors from my Sabbath school class to come with him," she requested softly. Mrs. Martin nodded. "I know they will be glad to." Anna's throat tightened and the muscles in her arms and legs tensed. Her eyes darted about the room. I must be going now," she stammered. I can't stay any longer." She fled through the small house and into the sunshine outside. The cool sea breeze blew against her cheeks, and she felt as though she had suddenly awakened from another horrible dream. Hardly seeing where she ran, she almost stumbled across her father, who sat mending his fishnet on the front steps of their home. "Not so fast, my child," he chided. "How is it that you are so out of breath this early in the day?" "Oh, father," Anna exclaimed, "I just saw something terrible. You must tell Sister Minerva at once." He sprang to his feet. "What is it?" he demanded. "The Adventist minister is coming after their church service tomorrow to pray for Rebecca. And she asked the Martins to bring the children, too." "Yes, I must tell Sister Minerva." He hurried up the lane that wound between the homes in the village. All afternoon, Anna wondered whether Sister Minerva would arrive in time the next day to save Rebecca. She told several of her friends what had happened. Some of them had already heard the story. By evening, the entire village buzzed with the news. The next morning, Anna watched the Martins leave for church. Would Sister Minerva come while they were gone? She breathed a sigh of relief when they returned at noon, without the pastor or the children. "Sister Minerva still has time to save Rebecca," she whispered to herself. Almost as though someone had told her they were home again, the old woman trudged up the village lane towards the Martins' house, less than 5 minutes after they returned. Anna noticed that her eyes gleamed. Her lips were set in a tight line. She pounded on the front door. Groups of people gathered about the front of the house to watch. Anna slipped around to the back and crouched under Rebecca's open window. "Rebecca," she heard Mrs. Martin call a few minutes later. "Sister Minerva is here to see you." Mrs. Martin's voice sounded pleasant, Anna thought, as though she were bringing a friend to visit. She heard Rebecca's faint, "Hello?" "Rebecca," Sister Minerva began, her voice low and gentle. "I'm an old, old woman. God is going to take me one of these days. Do you know where I'll go when I die?" A long pause followed. Curious to know what was happening inside, Anna rose slowly and peeked over the edge of the window. "Oh," she gasped, then clapped her hand over her mouth. The sick girl still lay on the bed, but she had propped herself up on one elbow, facing Sister Minerva. "You're not talking about you dying," Rebecca said in a clear voice. "You're talking about me dying. Well, I'm not going to die. The pastor and the children from the Adventist Church are coming to pray for me this afternoon, and God is going to make me well again for a witness to this village." The old woman glared at Rebecca. "You little heretic," she shrieked. "The devil's got hold of you, and you're going to die. When you do, you aren't going to heaven either. God will punish you in hell." She stalked out of the room. Anna dashed around the corner of the house just in time to see her emerge from the door. Dusting her feet on a mat, the old woman surveyed the villagers gathered in front of the house. "The child's a heretic," she cried. "She's going to let the heretics pray for her, and she's going to die. God will punish her for her sins." Pushing her way past the people, she rushed down the village lane. Anxiously, Anna waited to see what would happen next. 2 hours later, Pastor Thurman and the children arrived. He carried a Bible in his hand and chatted with the children as he walked. Small groups of people clustered near the front of the house as before. Anna's father joined them. The girl slipped around to the back to listen. "Rebecca," she heard Mrs. Martin call a moment later. "Pastor Thurman and the children are here to see you." "Hello, Rebecca," the pastor said. "The children and I have come to pray for you this afternoon. Do you believe God can make you well?" Rebecca replied weakly. The pastor read a passage from the Bible. Then he requested the children to kneel. One by one, they asked God to make Rebecca well. "Dear Jesus," one little girl prayed, "please make Rebecca strong again so she can come to Sabbath school and learn to love you more. Amen." After the children had prayed, Pastor Thurman began, "Father in heaven, Jesus died to save us from the power of Satan. Rebecca has been under Satan's power with this disease, and so now we come asking you to deliver her." "Sister Minerva said the heretics would turn Rebecca over to the devil," Anna thought. "She didn't say they would deliver her from him." "Rebecca's body is sick," Pastor Thurman continued. "Please take this sickness from her, as you took the sickness from Jairus' little girl when you were on earth. And now, Rebecca, as the Bible commands, I anoint you with this oil that God may forgive your sins and heal your disease." Slowly Anna peeked over the edge of the window, just in time to see Pastor Thurman touch the index finger of his right hand to Rebecca's forehead. He held a small bottle in his left hand. When Pastor Thurman had finished praying, he and the children rose to their feet and sang. Anna noticed that Rebecca's feet moved. She seemed to be trying to get them over the edge of the bed. Pastor Thurman changed the song. "Praise God from whom all blessings flow," he began in a clear, strong voice. All the children joined in. "Praise him, all creatures here below." Mrs. Martin knelt by Rebecca's side and wept. The last words of the song faded away. For several seconds nobody spoke. Anna dropped to her knees again and listened. Rebecca broke the silence with, "I'm hungry." "Bring her something to eat," Pastor Thurman told Mrs. Martin. "The Bible says that Jesus told Jairus to give his daughter something to eat after he healed her." Anna waited until she heard Mrs. Martin returning before she peeked over the edge of the window again. She saw Rebecca eating, and then she hurried back to the front of the house. "She's well! Rebecca's well!" she exclaimed. She ran to her father and grasped his hand. "She can't be," he declared. "Sister Minerva said she'd die." "But she is well," Anna insisted. "I heard them pray, and then I saw Rebecca sit up. Mrs. Martin brought her some food, and she's eating it." Everyone gathered around Anna and talked at once. Presently, the Martins' front door opened, and the crowd gasped. Pastor Thurman stepped outside, leading Rebecca by the hand. The girl still looked as thin as before, but she held her head high as she walked slowly down the lane with her friends. Anna's mind reviewed the weeks that followed, remembering how Rebecca had studied the Bible faithfully every day, and how she had written to Pastor Thurman, asking him to baptize her the next time he came to Coral Bay Village. She recalled how excited Rebecca had been just last Wednesday when she received Pastor Thurman's letter telling her he would be in Coral Bay Village today. Blinking her eyes as though she had awakened from a dream, Anna watched Pastor Thurman hold his hand towards heaven as he stood in the sea. She saw him lower Rebecca gently into the water and then raise her again. After he had dried her face with a white handkerchief, he led her out of the sea. Pastor Thurman, crossing the sandy beach, stepped up to one of the villagers and spoke to him. They shook hands. Others soon crowded around. In the back of the onlookers, Anna spotted Sister Minerva. The woman cast a dark look at the people and disappeared into the village. Anna found Rebecca standing beside her aunt and uncle. A blanket, one corner dragging in the sand, lay draped around her shoulders. Anna approached Rebecca and took her hand, squeezing it tight. The two girls smiled into each other's eyes.